The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. It's on page 122 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. Allow me to read the words of God. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen. Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter, but all of them were not born from a single mother. Instead, they had four mothers. Among Jacob's children, he especially liked Joseph because he was the son born from Rachel, whom he had loved. Jacob worked 7 years without pay to marry Rachel, his uncle's daughter, and he loved her so much that those 7 years felt like just a couple of days. But Rachel could not give birth for a long time, and Joseph was the son they had after a while. So Joseph had a special place in Jacob's heart. So he gave an ornate robe to Joseph. The robe was what the nobles wore at the time. In the Bible, there's one more person other than Joseph who wore this clothing. It was Tamar, the daughter of David and the sister of Absalom. So you can see how much Jacob had favored Joseph. But this clothing became the reason why Joseph was disliked by his brothers. So when Joseph came to the brothers, they took off the ordered clothing from Joseph and sold them to the Midianite merchants. And the brothers put some goat's blood on Joseph's robe and brought it to their father Jacob and said the following. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 32, they took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." The brothers brought Joseph's robe and said, "Father, check to see if this is your son's clothing." Instead of saying, "Father, we found this clothing. Can you check if it's the clothing of our brother Joseph?" To them, Joseph lived in the same house and came from the same father, but they were not their brothers. The father Jacob's response was the following in Genesis chapter 37, verses 33 to 35. He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Whatever other children thought of Joseph, to Jacob, Joseph was a son like all the other. Even though 12 of his sons and his daughter comforted him, it didn't help at all. To the brothers, Joseph being gone meant that 1 out of 13 is missing. 12 are still left. Since 92% of the children were still left, the fact that 8% was gone should not be a problem. But that was not the case for the father. To the father, each child is 100%, so he is saying that he is heartbroken to the extent that he wants to die. When Joseph was sold away to Egypt by Midianite merchants, he was 17 years old. In the beginning, he was a servant at the house of the captain Potiphar, and later he was falsely accused and was imprisoned. There, he interpreted dreams of two workers of the Pharaoh, the cupbearer and the baker. Thanks to this, Joseph later interpreted dreams for the Pharaoh and eventually became the prime minister of Egypt, the superpower country at the time. Pharaoh's dream was that there would be 7 years of harvest and 7 years of drought. The focus of the dream was not on the harvest, but on the drought. So to prepare for the drought, Pharaoh appointed Joseph as the prime minister. Joseph was 30 years old at the time. After 7 years of harvest passed, at the second year of drought, Joseph met his 10 brothers who had come to buy some grain. Joseph was 39 years old, and 22 years had passed since he was separated from his family. Joseph recognized his brothers right away, but not the brothers. Joseph asked the brothers, "You're spies, right? You have come to see where our land is unprotected." But the brothers said, "No, we're here to buy grain. We are brothers of the same father, 12 in total. The youngest is with his father, and we have lost one brother." They emphasized the same father and 12 brothers because they felt bad for not treating Joseph as a brother and selling him away. Then they shared the family's history. Joseph heard the family's story and asked them to bring the youngest, Benjamin. Only then would he believe their story. Joseph says so because Joseph and Benjamin have been born from the same mother, Rachel. If he sees how the brothers treat Benjamin, then he would know whether the brothers had really changed or not. Then the brother said, in Genesis chapter 42, verse 21, they said to one another, "Surely, we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us." The brothers remembered what had happened 22 years ago and confessed that they are being punished for what they did to their brother, not his father's son. How much would Joseph have begged to be brought out of the hole? "Brothers, I'm so sorry. I will never tell on you to our father anymore, and will not tell your dreams that embarrass you. Please take me out of here." But the brothers were unshaken by Joseph's request, because at the time, Joseph may have been their father's son, but he was surely not their brother. After they accepted their brother as their brother, repentance and restoration came to the brothers, and their names were used as the names of the 12 Israelite tribes. Today's scripture introduces a person, the older brother, who also could not accept his younger brother as a brother. The older son worked in the fields until sunset and headed home. As he became near home, there were sounds of dancing and drums, so he called one of the servants and heard about what was going on. And he said the younger brother had returned, so the master had held a party with the fattened calf. The older son responded like so in verse 28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. The older brother was so angry that he refused to go home. The father came out and pleaded but failed. The Greek word for to plead is parakaleo. It means to whisper on the side or to call from a side. When Jesus knew that not much time was left for him until he would leave, he told the disciples that the Holy Spirit will come after he leaves, and that the Holy Spirit is the advocate. The advocate is translated into English as the helper or the counselor in capitalized letters. But in Greek, the Holy Spirit is parakletos, the one who whispers to us by our side, with the same meaning as to plead. The father pleaded to his older son as the Holy Spirit whispers to us. But the firstborn was overwhelmed with anger that he could not listen to his father's words. Then the son said to his father in verse 29, but he answered to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. When the younger son decided to return home, he thought and said, I am not the son of my father, but consider me as one of your servants. But the father has the servants bring the best clothing and had the son wear a ring and shoes so that he would become his son. He was proclaiming that this is my son, not a servant. The older son complained that he has served his father for many years. The Greek word that means to serve is douleo and doulos for servants or slaves. So the older son is complaining that the father is treating the younger son, who asked to be treated like a servant, as a real son, while himself, the older son, had been treated like a servant. In verse 29, the word I or me is mentioned four times. The older son's complaint stems from a self-centered thought. It results from the anger that he harbored from the thought that he needs to be treated in a much better manner. The older son continues to say in verse 30, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. I've told you this before, but the property, bios, comes from the Greek word for life. The younger brother took his father's property and came penniless, which is the same as cutting away his father's life, but the older son is complaining that how could he take a fattened calf for such a son? But the older son is referring to his brother as the son of yours because he had already erased his brother from his heart, so he was no longer his brother. On the other hand, the father says the following about the second son who had returned. In verse 32, "But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The older brother refers to his brother as the son of yours, but the father calls him this brother of yours. The Greek word for brother is adelphos. This word is translated as brotherhood, sisterhood, older brotherhood, older sister, younger sibling, etc. This word comes from the word for womb. People who are born from the same womb are brothers and sisters. The three analogies in Luke chapter 15 are stories that Jesus told Pharisees and teachers of the law. While the younger son who ran away from the home symbolizes the tax collectors and sinners, the older son signifies the Pharisees and teachers of the law. We do not have the power to accept the other as my brother and my sister. If we correctly perceive that we are all born from the womb of God of truth, life, and mercy, then we are able to accept others as brothers and sisters. If we fail to do so, then we perceive others as objects of jealousy, envy, competition, and hatred. Joseph's brothers disliked him because of the ornate robe from his father and the dreams he had on the surface. But deep down, it was because brothers thought they came from different womb. So while Joseph was their father's son, he was not their brother. To the older son, who complained that a party was held with the fattened calf, the father disagreed and explained why he should welcome his brother as well. In verse 31, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The father gave two reasons. First, you are always with me. Second, everything I have is yours. The best blessing we Christians have is that God is with us. There is no better blessing than to be in a relationship with God. However, many Christians are more concerned about what God gives us than God himself. We mistakenly think that the more we receive from God and the more prayers are answered, God loves us more. Let us assume that your children grow and it's time for them to get married. What kind of words from children would make the parents happiest? It would be something like, "Mother, father, thank you for being my parents and taking care of me. There were times when I was stressed out due to our poor economic condition and physically worn out because I had to work part-time while studying. But it was my greatest blessing to have grown as children of parents with such faith and great character. I want to be good parents like you two." Will there be anything else that will make the parents happier than that? Instead, if your children say, "Mother, father, thank you for buying me good shoes and clothes during elementary school so that I am not looked down upon. In middle and high school, You bought me the best smartphone and other electronic gadgets, which I could show off to my friends. And thank you for sending me to expensive cram schools. And in college, you helped me to study abroad and gave me much allowances to use freely. But you did not build a relationship with me because you were so busy, so we didn't have much time together. Later on, I will provide for my children even if I have to take out loans. It would be miserable if they say that. The older son did not realize what a huge blessing it was to be with the father. Just based on that, he could have welcomed his brother with warmth. The more important reason to welcome his brother was what the father said. All I have is yours. When the younger son left, not only did he receive inheritance, but the older son did so as well. In verse 12, the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. The father split his property between his two sons. The older son also received his inheritance. We all receive grace from God, and thanks to this providence, we gain strength to live out in this world. But many Christians think they didn't, and because of such thought, they envy someone else if they think that they have received such grace. "And everything I have is yours" means that you are the person to continue my work. So what the father expects of his two sons is different. What the father expects from the younger son who ran away is, "Please just return home," while he wants the older son to continue my work. Let's assume that in a particular family, there are two sons that are attending high school. The older one is a senior, the top student in high school, while the younger one is a freshman who misses school more often than attending school. The parents will think the younger one would need at least a high school degree to get a job and make a living. The older one usually scores 98 points on an exam, but one day he got an 88. Then the parents will be worried and ask, "Are you okay? Do you have a girlfriend? Are you sick?" On the other hand, the younger one usually receives about 38 points, but one day he scores 58 points. Then that day will be like a birthday. Parents will be worried when the older son gets 88 points, while they praise the younger one for getting 58 points because their expectations for their sons are different. But there's a long way to go for the younger son to catch up to the older son in terms of studying. When the second born, who had left home with his property, returned home, the father held a party with a fattened calf. What would have happened the next day and the day after that? Would he have held a party with another fattened calf? No, it would not have happened. On the next day, the second born will have to live beautifully as the son of the father in the father's home. He will have to repent the days he had wasted and used for a very thin depth and we'll have to try hard to live out time with thick depth. That is living a beautiful life as a son. That is what the father is telling the older son, and what Jesus is telling the Pharisees and teachers of the law has the same meaning. He is saying, aren't you in a relationship with God all the time? And aren't you the ones to continue the kingdom of God? The second born, the tax collectors and the sinners are not just accepting God and beginning from the start, and yet you disapprove of that? Shouldn't you be happy for them from the perspective of eternity? In the past, Korean churches often had public testimonies. There were stories told by famous actors who formerly did not have faith, people who changed from other religion or traditional beliefs, and even gang members who came to have faith. There were two thoughts that came to my mind after hearing their testimonies. First, how God works is so mysterious. It's difficult to picture people like them to believe Jesus, but God's plan is different from people's plan, and the path of God is different from our path. So it's difficult not to accept God's thoughts and path, or better, than our thoughts and path. Another point is how much would they have to try and fight, and how long would it take for them to take off the clothing of worldly values and wear the clothes of Jesus Christ, the eternal values. They will have to try even harder than normal people to no longer be influenced by prior value systems. God took in the Israelites who had been slaves for 400 years in Egypt as his children and helped them to escape Egypt. Through Exodus, they were no longer slaves and became free. God wanted them to live as the children of God in the land of Canaan. But the time in the wilderness was not easy, so people blamed God and complained and died there eventually. Among the adults who came out of Egypt, the only people who entered Canaan were Joshua and Caleb. All Christians are like so, returning to God and believing in the Lord as the second born wasted away his life and returned to his father's home. It's not the end, but the new beginning. God calls each and every one of us from our own Egypt. If God helps us to cross the Red Sea with his grace and power, then now it is our responsibility to get to Canaan with the grace from God and live as the children of God there. We cannot stop in the middle and settle there because it is tough to get to where we are called to go. But many Christians do not try to live as Christians because the journey is tough. Some people even open up a seafood restaurant named Red Sea Restaurant by the coast of the Red Sea and say that they want to make a lot of money there and live a comfortable life, while others open up a manna diner by the entry point of the Red Sea. Some open up a quail food truck and stay there, while others are running a company called Water From a Rock. They also brag about how much revenue they have and how much God loves them from all this business, even though they have not arrived at Canaan. When I was little, I spent about 20 years by the sea. For about 10 years, I was just one street away from the beach. So I grew up with the sea. In the summertime, I swam into the sea and caught clams, crabs, and gastropods. By the end of May, I remember swimming on warm Saturdays. So I thought, I swim pretty well. But in high school and college, I rarely went into the water. During my graduate program for theology studies, there was a rehabilitation institution for physically disabled next to my school. There was a swimming pool there, so I swam there during summer breaks. I didn't take lessons and applied for free swimming instead. I wanted to swim without taking a break, but it was difficult and I couldn't swim as I wanted to. In the beginning, I was frustrated and thought, maybe it's just been a while. Some time passed, but it was still the same. After I graduated, there was a swimming pool next to the church I served, and I swam there on free days, but it was the same there too. I was just 30 years old then, but I ran out of breath after swimming two laps in a 25-meter pool. People who were 20, 30 years older than me were swimming more than 20 laps. Before I left for Geneva, I had some time and wanted to gain physical strength, so I took swimming lessons for an hour from Monday to Friday for 4 months. The swimming instructor didn't ask me whether I know how to swim and had me practice how to use my legs in the kids' pool. I was so embarrassed in the beginning. I thought, hey, I'm the man of the sea. And I also thought, it's not like I don't know how to swim. But I didn't say anything and did as I was told. I was in the beginners group in the first month. I was told to go to the intermediate level in the next month and the advanced level after 3 months and a half. What I learned then was that to swim comfortably for a long time, you first have to relax your shoulders. When I did, it was so much easier to swim for a long time. After I relaxed my shoulders, I had to gain strength to swim better. But it was strength different from when I had used my shoulders. As I learned how to swim, if I didn't know how to swim at all, I would not have progressed so quickly. Having spent my childhood by the sea helped to quickly learn how to swim. But if I didn't learn to relax my shoulders and learn how to use strength, then I may still say I'm the man of the sea, even though I really don't know how to swim. The correct path of faith to mature and grow is to let go of yourself and what you're holding on to as the power source and the power from secular values. When you take our Father God as the source of your strength, your faith becomes deeper, wider, and higher. God calls us not only to have us enter his home, but for us to mature so that we can continue his work. In this new year, may we become Christians that continue the work of God in the places God has planted us. There, we will renew our homes and workplaces, restore the Korean churches that have become the object of distrust, and live as children of God that cleanses and lights up our society full of conflicts. If you take yourself, what you own, or the secular values as your strength, you will be powerless. But if you consider yourself as weak and small and do not have anything in this world, but take God as your strength, then you will be powerful because only our eternal God is the source of renewal and restoration. May you walk with God during this week. Let's pray. Father God, we learned through the word that the older son was angry at his father and his brother because he didn't know what the father expected of him. The father had considered him as the inheritor to continue his work, while he had mistaken his father with property and that he could only see with his eyes. From time to time, we also misunderstand and make mistakes. Ignoring what God expects of us, we judge based on what we can see. As our faith continues, may we embrace even more people, and may the grace you pour on others become the source of our joy as well. If our lives are like the younger son, give us the courage to end such lifestyle and return to God. And if we are like the older son, help us to discern what is right and look at ourselves from the perspective of God. More than anything, may we not forget that you have called us as the children of promise to continue the work of God, and may we not take ourselves or the world as the source of strength, and instead take Father God as the source of strength to walk with God all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.